And just by way of review, for those of you folks that may not were with us, or just to kind of make, talking about counterfeits. I'm going to try to make that not do that if I can at all help it. Counterfeits are something that we have to deal with every day. And just by way of review, for those of you folks that may not were with us, or just to kind of make sure we're all on the same page, we talked about that counterfeits are things that are not real, and yet they have the appearance of being real. That's what makes a good counterfeit. If you are trying to sell a counterfeit piece of artwork, it has to look real. Otherwise, nobody's going to buy it. Told you about my little autograph collection I have, and I'd like to think that those people actually signed those things that I have. And yet in the Christian's life, counterfeits are also something that we need to be very aware of. It's something that Satan tries to do, because we said that anything that God does, Satan comes and he wants to turn it, to twist it, and to pervert it. Why? Because then we are embracing in our lives something that is not truly from God. And you see this all the way back in the Old Testament in Genesis. Adam and Eve in the garden, created perfect by God. And Satan comes and he brings a counterfeit that Eve takes and then gives to Adam. That counterfeit was basically, she said, listen, or he said to Eve, he said, listen, God said you could eat anything you want to, right? And Eve said, no, we can't eat of the tree in the center of the garden. Satan said, here's why. God knows that you'll become like him if you eat that. That was a counterfeit. That was a lie. And that's what counterfeits do. It's why it's so important for us today to be able to understand and to recognize those things before they come into our lives. The reason that Satan wants to do this is he wants to keep us from true fellowship with God. Because when we're walking in the things of God, well, it's never done that before, has it? Let me just step back here just a little bit. When we're walking in the things of God, we are in fellowship with him. That's the place that we want to be at all times. That's the place that we want to have our lives. Every decision that we make, everything that's happening in our lives, we want it to be because we're in close fellowship with him, because we're desiring to follow him. If we embrace counterfeit things into our lives, then we don't have that. It's something that's not true. He wants to do these things in order to keep us from being able to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is so important, and one of these days I'm going to just talk just about the Holy Spirit, because it's something that we need to come to the place of understanding. We talk about the Trinity. You know, the word Trinity is not in the Scripture. That term is not in the Bible. The concept of the Trinity is there. Where's the place that you see that? Probably more obviously than anywhere else. Do you know in the New Testament where you see that? It was actually an event that took place when Jesus was baptized. The Bible says that he came up out of the water, and it said a voice came from heaven and said, behold my son, whom I am well pleased. And it said a dove came and lit on him, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Trinity is the concept, and I don't want to get into all of this right now, but the Trinity is basically three in one. And the Holy Spirit part of that is what is in each of us today. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit is a part of your life to give you guidance, to help you, to give you instruction even, if you're willing to listen to him. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So here's what I want us to look at. How do I spot the counterfeit? How do I know? Because I'm asking God the things that he wants me to do in my life. What is it that I'm supposed to do? And when we do that, when we're seeking him, Satan isn't sitting back there going, gee, I hope he doesn't get the answer he wants. Satan's active. He's involved in what's going on for a couple of reasons. Number one, everything that he does is to try to counteract what God is doing. Now, watch this, because I want to make sure we understand. Satan is not the opposite of God. There is no opposite of God. Because opposite means equal, but different. That's what opposite means. So if I'm the opposite of my brother in my personality, it means that he's one way and I'm completely opposite. But we're the same. We're still brothers. There's no opposite of God. That's important to understand. Satan is a created being. Okay? Like I've told you, he's not creative. He's clever. And the cleverness comes when he tries to bring things to us that look like God, but aren't. You say, well, holy cow, Pastor Dave, now how do I do this? How in the world am I supposed to know the difference? If it looks like God, how am I going to be able to tell? Is there like a little flag that goes, I'm a counterfeit, just letting you know, make a good decision? That's not the way it works. But I've got some ways that I believe that can help you to be able to determine if you're looking at a counterfeit when you're making a decision in your life. You say, well, where would they come in? Any place that you're asking God. So you've been asking God for a job. You say, Father, I need a new job. Help me to see what job you want me to have. God hears your prayer. You know who else is aware that you're praying? The enemy's aware. And so you get multiple job offers. You say, okay, well, I want to make the right decision. I want to take the right job. How do you know which one to take? You're asking God to bring a relationship into your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a husband or a wife. It can be any kind of relationship. Maybe you're asking God for a friend, someone to do something with. You're asking God to send you somebody that you can just really connect with. Maybe a mentor. You say, God, I really would love a mentor in my life. Satan wants to bring you somebody that's going to look like that, but is not going to help. Matter of fact, it's going to hurt. You say, Pastor Dave, how in the world am I supposed to split these hairs? How am I supposed to find out? Let's look at them. Here's the first one. How do I spot a counterfeit? First one, does what you're doing sit well in your spirit? Does what you're looking at sit well in your spirit? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, as I've already said to you, the Holy Spirit is given to us by God in order to help us in our lives. The Bible calls him our advocate, calls him our counselor. And as you read in John 14, turn to John 14, if you would, please. You go, Pastor Dave, you got that huge screen behind you. Why don't you put the words up on the screen? You know why? Because then you won't bring your Bible. Bring your Bible when you come to church, if you have one. And if you need one, let us know. We'll get you one. We will get a brand spanking new Bible for you if you need one. All you have to do is just go, Pastor Dave, I need a Bible. I'll get you one. We're nice that way. We give people Bibles. John 14. First way I can spot a counterfeit. Does it sit well in my spirit? And I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. John 14, starting in the 23rd verse. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. Now what Jesus has been doing, he's been teaching them the things that have been going on. He's been teaching them what his work is and all of this. And the disciples are at a place in this scripture where they're getting a little bit upset. And they're upset because Jesus has been telling them that he's going to be leaving them. Now you have to know that when Jesus first came to the disciples, they didn't walk in the first time they sat down and got what it was that Jesus wanted to do. Disciples took a little time to come around. Even though they were walking with him all of the time, saw everything that he was doing. How many times do you remember reading where Jesus said to the disciples, guys, how long do I have to be with you before you get this? Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Does that kind of rock your theology a little bit? Because normally we see Jesus walking around like this with the bathrobe, the flip-flops, and the frisbee. That would be a halo, the frisbee. That wasn't how Jesus lived. Jesus lived as a man. Remember, into the temple with a whip, getting the money changers out of there, kicking over tables. Jesus says to the disciples, guys, how long do I have to tell you these things? The disciples, when Jesus first came, got real excited because they understood that this man was the one that was coming that was prophesied by Isaiah, by Jeremiah, by all of these great prophets. And when they talked about the man that was going to come, they said he's going to free his people. That's what he said. You know what the disciples thought this guy was going to be? A revolutionary. But not in the way that he was. He was a revolutionary in a completely different way than they understood it. They were expecting somebody to come in and to help to raise up the people, rabble-rouse speeches, we're going to overthrow the Romans, we're going to take back the Jewish culture, we're going to take back all of our land. One of his disciples was Simon the Zealot. You know what a zealot was in the Old Testament? He was a terrorist. That's what a zealot was. Now, think on that one. Okay, one of the Taliban is now a member of the disciples. But what they were doing back then is they would do anything that they had to in order to protect the sanctity of the Jewish Old Testament traditions. That's what a zealot was. Jesus took this guy, put him on his board of directors, and said, I'm going to show you a new way to have a revolution. And Jesus came and said, no, we're not going to overthrow, because the Old Testament said if you lose an eye, you get to take the eye of the guy that took it. If you lose a hand, they have to lose their hand. If you lose animals, this person does something that your animals get killed. You get to take his animals. That was justice in the Old Testament. Jesus came and said, wait a minute. If someone slaps you in the face, you turn your face, let them slap the other side. He said, if somebody wants your cloak, offer to give them your shirt. If somebody wants you to go a mile with them, go 2 miles. Complete change in what it was that they had all grown to understand. Jesus came and brought a whole new way of life. He's still doing that today. A whole new way of living. That's why being a follower of Jesus is not an easy thing to do. It's not easy. I heard a teaching recently, and it was good. It was real good. It was the difference between being a Christian and a follower of Jesus. Good teaching. I'll probably talk about it. Randy, you might have heard. Did you hear that or not? Dave gave me that disc. Okay. Okay. I want to make sure you hear that. Difference between being a Christian and a follower of Jesus. I'm not going to get into that right now. But being a follower of Jesus is not easy for that very reason. The things that Jesus asks us to do are different than what the world wants us to do. So the disciples in John 14, are you there? Did you find John 14? You're probably already there. You probably read all the way through to Colossians by now. John 14. The disciples are upset because Jesus said, I'm leaving. But here's what Jesus says. He said, if anyone loves me, verse 23, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. We will come to him, make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Jesus was saying, fellas, if I stay, I can't have the Holy Spirit come. That same Holy Spirit that Jesus came and brought to the disciples when he left is the same Holy Spirit today that we have in our lives. And the Holy Spirit, my friends, wants to give us guidance because of the love of the Father. If, important four words, if we will listen. If we will listen. You know, we live in a culture, and this may not surprise too many of you, we live in a loud, active, constantly things going on culture. You know, the news stations and all of those kinds of things, they have all of these studies they've done that they have to change images every few seconds because if they don't, they lose people. They have to because people's minds, we're always going. How many of you? You go to bed at night, you lay down, the lights are out, it's gone, and your mind's going 100 miles an hour. All of us do that at some point or another. But what we've also done today is that we have minimized the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives by embracing the way the world looks at those things. How many times have you been doing something or involved in a situation and you had a feeling, an intuition, a gut reaction? You know what I'm talking about? A sixth sense. One of my favorites as a child of the 70s, the old original Spider-Man show, that was one of my favorite cartoons, my spider sense is tingling. As a Christian, it's none of those things. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, talking to your heart, talking to your soul, if you're willing to listen. And so many times, when a counterfeit of the enemy comes, we have that sense, we have that feeling, and yet, because it's something that I want to do, it's something that I think is important to what is important in my life, I go ahead and do it, and I ignore what it is the Holy Spirit's saying to me. Listen. When the Holy Spirit speaks. Listen, when you have a feeling, that's not just kind of a, as I said, a sixth sense. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Listen to that. Don't ignore those things. Second question then. Number one, does it sit well in my spirit? I'm trying to identify that counterfeit. The second one, what are other people saying about what I'm looking to do? What do other folks say? Now, I am not suggesting that you just ask everybody to tell you what to do. You don't live your life based solely on what other people say. But the Holy Spirit also speaks through other people. He gives them that ability to be able to speak. But how many times in your own life have you gotten, and you already went through the whole thing, and you're going, oh man, this is a mess, and it's already taken care of. Now I'm on the other side. How many times did someone come up and say, I told you. I told you. You didn't listen to me. God will speak through other people. Can I encourage you not to ignore those folks? Again, you're not living your life based on what everybody else tells you to do, but the Holy Spirit will speak through people into your lives. As I said before about asking God for a mentor, that's an important thing to have somebody that can speak into your life. But you need to be careful about who that is. You need to ask God for that. Let him bring that man or that woman. And can I also tell you this? If you're asking God for a mentor, ladies, a lady is your mentor, not a man. Gentlemen, a man is your mentor, not a lady. You say, well, what's the big deal? I think we know what the big deal is. Satan's going to try to pervert everything. How much easier would it be for that to happen? So we have to be wise about those things. The Bible says we're to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That's what the Bible says. So you got to be wise about those things. So listen to what other people tell you. But the best way that you can listen is by knowing the voice of the one that's speaking to you. That's what's most important. John, we're back in John. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. How was the only way that a sheep was going to know his shepherd's voice? Is if the shepherd was with his sheep. If he heard their voice. If they recognized who he was. My friends, we ask God for things in our lives. We ask him to speak to us. We ask him to be an important part of us. And yet if we don't spend time with him, how can we recognize his voice? How can we know what he's saying? Can I encourage you this morning that whatever time you spend in prayer and in the word, you increase that. Now, don't tell God you're going to pray for an hour every day. No, you're not. Unless you're doing it now. If you're doing it now, then absolutely. But just spend more time with him. Spend more time in an attitude of prayer. You know, you don't have to be in church. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to have your eyes closed. Any place you are, at work, driving, walking through the grocery store, any place you are, you can spend time with the Father. That's how we get to know his voice. And that's how we'll hear his voice speaking through someone else to us. Third one, when you're looking at whatever it is you're going to do, I'm making a decision, maybe a job, maybe a relationship. Third one, are you not acting like yourself when you're making the decision? Do you change during that time? I say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, when you're in the midst of things that are going on in your life and there is something that you want to do, and probably the easiest way to talk about this is in relationships, because we have probably all been involved in something like this at one point in our lives. I bring the girl home I'm dating. I bring the guy home that I'm dating. That would be for a woman, not for me. Thank you very much. Just want to make sure we're clear on that. So I bring this girl home, and, you know, they're saying, well, she's nice and all that kind of thing. And then she leaves, and they begin to tell me how they really feel. I don't really like what they're saying right now. I don't like that. Do I stop being with them? Do I stop acting like myself normally that I would? Does my demeanor change? Do I withdraw into myself when I'm looking to want to do something that I'm not sure if I should do? Is it a counterfeit? Is it real? You can tell by even the way that you behave and the way that you act. And this is the time then that you begin to see all of these other things coming in. I remember once in my own life, I spent a period of time just completely staying away from my mother. Didn't want anything to do with my mom. Now, she didn't live near me, but I stopped calling her. I didn't want to have anything to do with her. Why? Because my mother is a prayer warrior. She prays. God speaks to her, always accurately, bugs the heck out of me, can't pull anything over on her. She can look at me and know what's going on in my life. So there was a period of many months that I had nothing to do with my mom because she was right and I was embracing a counterfeit in my life. Now, I didn't realize that until it was over, but boy, if I had known beforehand, whew, how much heartache could I have been spared in my life by just being who it was that God called me to be, listening to someone that was speaking in my life, knowing that in my spirit it wasn't sitting well. Don't ignore those things. Don't ignore those things. You see this in the scripture. Really good story of this just quickly. In 1 Samuel, you look at Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. The Bible said he was a head taller than everybody else. Good-looking guy. Fellas, a lot of us understand this. Mr. Basem, just in particular, even though you like Judge Judy, that's all right. I still love you. I'm still trying to get over that, but I still love you. Bible says that Saul was going to go into battle and that Samuel had said to him, the prophet, I want you to wait. I'm going to come and I'm going to give a sacrifice to God. And he's going to go before you and you're going to have victory, but you need to wait for me. Saul said, okay. 7 days went by and Samuel didn't show up. What did Saul do? He embraced a counterfeit. He offered the sacrifice to God. And on top of that, a little bit later in the same book, you read about how Saul was lost. He didn't know what he was supposed to do, and Samuel had already died. What does the Bible say Saul did? It said he got a witch to come in and to raise up Samuel's spirit from the dead. A counterfeit. Because the Bible tells us we're not to communicate with dead spirits. Now here's something, I'll just kind of do this on an aside. Those things are real. Those things are, the Bible wouldn't tell us not to if we couldn't. But those are not things that we should do. And so if you have anything to do with, or you know folks are involved in Ouija boards or spirit speaking or all those kinds of things, you need to stay away from those things. The Bible says those things are dangerous. Why? Because of who you're talking to? No, it's because it opens the door for everything else that Satan wants to bring into your life because you're being disobedient. But those things can happen. A lot of times it's fake. You know how I know that? Because it was fake in the Old Testament too. If you read that story of the witch of Endor, when Samuel's spirit came up, who freaked out more than anybody? The witch did. I look at that and I go, okay, so she was conjuring up things, but when the real spirit of Samuel came out, she lost her mind because she had never seen anything like that before. But Saul embraced a counterfeit through that whole thing. And you know what the result of that was? God said to Saul, I'm departing from your house. Your family doesn't get to keep the throne. I'm bringing in David. I'm going to bring in his family. They're not going to be perfect, but they understand the difference between real and the difference between counterfeit. Saul was doing things he knew he should not do. Why? Because he was changed. He was different. If you're not careful, the counterfeits that we embrace in our lives will change who we are. They'll change us. Here's the fourth one. I'm going to start wrapping this up. First one, does it sit well with my spirit? Second one, what do other people say? Third one, does it change who I am through that process, trying to identify the counterfeit and the real? Here's the fourth one, do I increase or decrease my prayer time while I'm making the decision? Do I increase it or do I decrease it? Honest prayer will reveal the true nature of what it is you're considering. Honest prayer. It'll reveal the nature to you. It'll reveal it. You'll be able to understand what it is. If you're honestly saying to God, Father, I don't want what I want more than I want what you want. That's the honest prayer. Your will in my life, not my own. And folks, we have talked about this so many times. That is such an easy thing to say. Boy, is it hard to do. It's hard to do. It's hard to say, God, I really want this. This is what I want. I want this relationship. I want this job. I want this to change in my life. All of these things I want. But what do you want for me? That's the prayer Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, wasn't it? Jesus knew what he was going to go face. He was going to go face horrific torture, unbelievable pain and suffering. And he said to his Father, God, if there's any way you can do this without me having to go through it, do it. But not what I want, what you want. Folks, that's the place that we want to be moving to. That's the place that we want to come to our lives. Because when we do that, the Father can come and he can pour into us everything that he desires because he knows he can trust us. He knows that our hearts are right, that we're prepared for what it is that he wants to do. Once again, in 1 Samuel, Saul and David, they would often pray to God and ask him, should I go attack this person? Should I go attack this country? And God would answer. The times that Saul and David got into the worst amount of trouble is the time they never went to God. What was David's biggest downfall? What started the whole thing? Bathsheba. David was at a place he did not belong. He didn't talk to God. He didn't ask God, am I supposed to go off to war? He was supposed to. The Bible said at a time when kings were at war, where was Dave? He was on his house walking around on the roof watching this woman take a bath. That's not where he belonged. If your prayer life is decreasing while you're in the midst of a decision that you're making, be careful. There's a good chance that's counterfeit. Be careful. Increase your prayer life when you're going through these things. Here's the last one. If you do not get what you want, are you willing to still wait on God? If you don't get what you want, are you still willing to wait on Him? Jesus didn't get what He asked for when He prayed. He still had to go to the cross. When we're praying for things in our own lives, if that prayer is not answered the way I thought it was going to be or the way I wanted it to be, am I still willing to wait, or now am I getting more frantic? Am I getting more worked up? I didn't get the job I thought I should get. Now what am I going to do? I've got bills that are piling up. You think God doesn't know about our bills? I've got things coming into my life here. I don't know how to handle them. You think God doesn't know about those things? God knows all of those things. He knows the beginning to the end. He's already been where it is that you're going to be going. I love that thought. That just has always been a great source of comfort to me. God has already been where I'm going to be going. He already knows what's there. He's preparing it for me. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what if that's a lousy area? What if that's hard? What if it's hurtful? He's already been there. And if you need to walk through that, He's going to prepare you to do it if you ask Him, if you're willing to wait on Him. So if you don't get exactly what you want, are you still willing to wait on Him? Because it's those times that Satan's going, come on, the heat's up. It's getting worse. This relationship that you're in, it's getting tougher. This job that you're in, or you don't even have a job, and you know you've got obligations, what are you going to do? What I'm going to do, I'm going to hold to the Father even tighter than I was before and say, God, I am trusting You. Now, look at me. This is not easy. It's hard. It's hard to do. You say, Dave, what if I do this and it gets worse? It could. God hasn't changed. That's the time that we go deeper into His Word. That's the time when we find a brother or a sister. That's the time when we have family that rally around us. And it may be blood family. It may be church family. It may be both. That's when I get on the phone. I say, Pastor Dave, I need your prayer. I need you to pray with me. And I've been doing that because, you know, I believe we're a family that's growing, not in numbers, but in spirit, understanding what it means to serve God. That even when things don't look that good, He still loves me. Even in the midst of the storm, Peter's walking across the water in the storm, he was fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. The minute he took them off, down he begins to go. I've lived a few of those storms in my life. But He's always faithful to us. Always faithful. I think we would be amazed at how much it is that we probably have missed in our lives because of our impatience, because of our greed, because of our pride. Missed a lot of things. Moses didn't get to take the children of Israel into Canaan because of his pride. The Bible says in Numbers that he struck the rock instead of speaking to it like he was supposed to. If he had spoke to the rock, it would have been no question that it was God that had done it. But he told the people, hey, listen, all right, I'll take care of you. Boom, hits the rock. The water comes out. God was still faithful, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do. That was his pride that kept him. David didn't get a chance to build the temple. God gave all the plans to David for the temple. He didn't get to build it. Why? Because of what he had done, because of his pride, because of his counterfeits that he took into his life. Many of the churches in the New Testament that you read, a lot of the letters that Paul wrote were sent to churches that were struggling with understanding who God was because they allowed counterfeits to come in to their midst. It's still taking place today. My friends, I want this house to be a place where the Word is spoken. Not counterfeits. Not watered down in order to make us a little more comfortable, but where the Word is spoken. And I want each of you in your lives, when you leave and are going out through the course of the week, that when something comes to your life that you need to make a decision, you can know without a shadow of a doubt, is this of God or is this a counterfeit? Now here's one other thing you have to also understand. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get to that place. Don't be in such a hurry. We always feel like we have to do things instantly. It takes time. You say, Pastor Dave, I may not have a lot of time. I've got this job that I'm looking at here. I don't have 6 months in order to make this decision. I understand that. But you know who also understands that? God understands. But be patient with it. Allow Him to speak to you. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fasting. Ooh, wait a minute. I thought we talked about that once, didn't we? Spend time in fasting. What does fasting say to God? I am dead serious about this. God loves that. He just loves when his kids are getting down into it and desiring to hear all it is that he wants to do. Let me give you some good news to finish. Because if I'm not careful, you could be sitting here going, I don't know if I can do these things or not. What if I'm already in a situation that was probably counterfeit? Now what? What if that's already happened? Well, let me give you some good news. God will always be glorified and be victorious. Always. God will always be glorified and be victorious. Recognizing what I did. So I'm in a counterfeit. I'm in a job right now, and I'm thinking, you know what? If I'm thinking back here to when I first got this job, I had a queasy gizzard the whole time. That's one of my mom's statements, a queasy gizzard. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I kind of understand it. People were telling me I probably shouldn't take this job. I know I didn't pray about it. I kind of distanced myself from everybody. So now I'm in this job. What am I going to do? Recognizing what took place is the first step to coming back to putting God first in that situation. And that's what we need to do. You got to put God first. You got to focus on the things of Him, no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are. If you begin to focus on Him, He can change the environment of that circumstance for you. It doesn't always mean that the situation itself will change. Sometimes those things will continue. But when I'm different, it's going to impact what's going on. When God is right in my life and I've got Him in the best priority place, when He's number one and it's not about me, it's about what He wants, He can change the environment that I'm in. And so this morning, I guess the word that I want to encourage you with more than anything else is no matter where you are right now, whether it was genuine of God or maybe it was a counterfeit that the enemy was able to get in there, you can still glorify God and He will still be victorious. And it starts with you saying, God, what you want is more important than what I want. That's what's most important. And so be encouraged this morning. Know that God will have His way. Know that no matter what it is that you're dealing with, that if you start by saying, Father, come and speak to me. Holy Spirit, come, give me guidance. That He'll be faithful to do that. Amen? So be encouraged. Be aware. Be alert. The counterfeits will come. As children of God, Satan's going to try to take you away from the things that you should do and the places you should be. Be alert. Don't be surprised. Expect it to take place. But then as you're walking through that process, know that God will give you everything that you need in order to be victorious. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are walking with each and every one of us this morning. And Father, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here that in the times of when we're making decisions, in the things that are going on in our lives, whether they're great, huge things, or maybe they're just little things that aren't of great consequence, Lord, no matter what it is, we want to walk in the center of Your will. That's the place that we want to be. And so, Father, I pray that You would give us spiritual eyes to be able to see what is coming in the reality of what they truly are. Whether they're from You, Father, whether the enemy is trying to bring in a counterfeit, God, I want to see those things so I don't have to try to rescue the things of my life. I don't have to come crawling to You, Father, and say, help, save me from this. But, Father, I can walk into the things that are of You knowing that You want to bring the very best for my life. That You love me. And so, Father, even if we're in one of those situations, whatever it may be, God, to know that You can come and You can clean, You can bring light where there's been darkness, You can make crooked ways straight, You can change the very nature of who we are if I'm willing, God, to embrace You and to say, God, come work in my life. So I pray that over each of my brothers and sisters, and Father, may we know that in everything that we do, that we give You glory and honor because only You are worthy. Bless each and every one here. Keep us safe, God, as we go. And we look forward to coming back next week to worship You again. Help us to be a light wherever it is we are because of Your presence in us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.